Good afternoon. This is Mark Ward, and the program is called Pleasing God. And we're here in Brunswick, Georgia, from the New Joy 100.3 FM on the dial, preaching God's Word and teaching more about who God is and what we're to do to please Him. And just the very fact of defining what sin is encompasses this idea of when you think of pleasing God, you think of that which is not sin. And when you think about failing to please God, then we must be doing things that are our sin. And sin separates us from God. Romans, the third chapter, verse 23, says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we are without hope in this world, without help. But we have help from God that is offered. And much like a person who's drowning, asking for help, God is there. God's ear is not too dull, or His hand is not too short to save us. But we must come to God. For example, in Hebrews, the 11th chapter and verse 6 that we talked about in our last study together, for without faith it is impossible to please Him. But he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That verse says a lot, doesn't it? Well, I don't want to believe in God, but I still want to be saved. Well, you might want that, but that's not God's plan. And God, by default, the creator of the universe and the revealer of His will, His Word, and His scheme of redemption, and His plan of salvation for mankind that includes Jesus the Christ leaving the comforts of heaven and making Himself lower than the angels and coming to earth and living and walking as a man like you and I in humanity, though He was God-man on earth. He was tempted in all points like as we. He was spit upon, reviled, persecuted. He did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. And He went to the cross for me, and He went to the cross for you. For God so loved that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. But you can't discount Hebrews 11:6. And Hebrews 11:6 says, for without faith it's impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. It's not enough to call or invoke the name of God and say, okay, I've invoked the name of God, my ticket's punched, I'll be saved. That's not God's plan for man of redemption. But God's done His part. God has sent His Son. The sacrifice has been made. The debt for sin has been paid. But it's not a non-participatory on the part of man salvation. God invites, encourages, warns, rebukes those who are in sin to repent. Jesus' message on earth during His personal ministry, which was while under the law of Moses as a Jew, which He kept perfectly, which was the law of God at the time for the Jews, was fulfilled. And the great sacrifice on the cross was the once for all, shedding His blood for mankind, of all going backwards all the way to Adam, and affecting and going forward for any who, like us today, would obey the will of God. But we don't pick and choose, like in a cafeteria line, what parts of the new covenant that we want to obey and what we want to ignore or reject or violate, even willfully, as some do. No, rather, it is a matter of accept and submit. Accept who God is, accept His Word in the New Covenant, and submit. And when we fail to do that, we err, we sin, E-R-R. We are in error if we continue in that. and we can stumble and we can sin and make things right, or we can walk in darkness, or we can walk in the light. And we will make mistakes. I make mistakes, you make mistakes. But God looks upon the heart and the action and knows whether we're willfully walking in the darkness or whether we're striving to walk in the light and misstep from time to time. Who is this God that we should know Him? This God is the God that's the creator of the universe. This God is called the divine nature, the Godhood. Some call it the Trinity. It is three in one, and the state of being God is deity. Deity is the state of being God. And if you think for a moment, though God is so higher than us, if you draw a circle in your mind or a rectangle, and outside that circle you label it God, and then inside you put the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and you don't put anything else inside that circle. That is the one God. That is the true and living God. That is the God of the Bible. And don't you dare put an angel in there. And don't you dare put a mere human in there. Christ is an exceptional case in being God and coming to earth and being God-man. While on earth, Jesus accepted worship. If he was mere man, he sinned. He did no sin. So he's still deity. He didn't use the powers of deity to dull his pain when he fasted, Matthew 4, in the desert and was tempted by the devil all that time without sin. He didn't dull his pain going to the cross. He felt the pain and agony. Jesus got hungry. Jesus went to sleep. He was in a human body, and yet he did not use any of the powers of deity in the sense of dulling his pain or lessening the temptation. That's why going back to heaven and sitting at the right hand of God now, he can be our prophet, priest, king, intercessor in our prayers, mediator in our prayers, so we have an advocate with the Father. And that's a wonderful advocate. Think of every time that a Christian prays to God properly. Not a sinful prayer now, but a scriptural asking. Oh, God may answer it, no. I think the prayer was scriptural when Paul had the thorn in the flesh, a physical malady, whatever it might have been, and that's an interesting thought question, but God doesn't reveal the specifics of what we can actually definitively say was Paul's thorn in the flesh, though we know some things. God said no on that occasion. My grace is sufficient for thee. But it was still a prayer, a sincere prayer, and not a sinful prayer. In Romans, the 8th chapter, concerning our prayers as Christians, the Bible points out that when we pray, we have help from the Spirit and from the Son, the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 8:26 says, likewise the Spirit, in this case the Holy Spirit, also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So when we pray, as in Matthew 6, Jesus taught the disciples to pray, we pray our Father who is in heaven. Prayer is to be addressed to the Father in the Godhood, the Godhead. Not one of three gods, but one of the three persons or personalities that makes up the Trinity, the Godhood, the Godhead, the divine nature. But when we pray, Romans 8:26 says, that the Holy Spirit helps in that prayer, making intercession on our behalf. I can't tell you everything about it. It even says in our Bibles that it's with groanings that cannot be uttered. God has not revealed all the specifics of it, but He's revealed the fact of it. I believe it, and I believe most of the audience does too. And if you go on down, that's the Holy Spirit. We also realize in verse 34, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. When we pray, we have the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ our Lord making intercession and mediating on our behalf to the Father. Now, God knows what's best for us. God set it up this way. God knows what we need. And He gives us and supplies us with the things that we need if we are seeking His will. If we need punishment, if we need chastening, if we need a lesson in humility, if we need a lesson in long-suffering, God will help us if we are seeking Him and His way. If we turn from Him and leave Him, He is ready to forgive us, not in our sin, but if we will follow His way and return to God. Let us remember that as we go through our life and not blame God. God is not responsible for our problems. Read the book of Job. See what happened there. Everything that was going on was not just a game between God above and the devil and using Job like a football to kick it around and see what would happen, or a soccer ball to see what would happen. No. This was good for Job. And it's good for us to see the example of Job. And bad things happen to good people. That doesn't mean the person has sinned. The trying of our faith can work patience, godliness. Bad things happen to Jesus. Jesus did no sin. But Jesus was on the earth where there is free will, and free will has some people being terrible. And free will has some people being very wonderful. It's our choice. Do we want to be part of the problem on earth? Or do we want to be part of some of the solutions? If everyone on earth exactly lived like we live, what type of place would the earth be? If you're going to church services, if everybody at church acted just exactly like I did, or you did, what would that church be filled with? If everybody that went to work for a job, if you have a job and you work with other people, some people don't, but if you work at a company and you interact with other people, what type of company environment would that be? Be filled with deception, or would it be filled with honor? Would it be people that are slackers? Or would it be with people that are working and doing everything as unto the Lord, as Ephesians 6 says, and other passages? Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of or by the authority of the Lord. And Ephesians 6 says that we who have bosses are supposed to serve them as unto the Lord, even if they're evil men or women. We're still supposed to do right by our employer, and yes, we're supposed to be paid an honorable wage for an honest day's work. If everyone in America felt like us, thought like us, what about this problem of racism? What is God's answer? Well, it starts by us doing what we're supposed to do individually, according to the Word of God. Let us please Him. Listen tomorrow or next opportunity for our study. God bless you. Have a great day.